Seth Swan. Every summer on Merry Lake, there is a competition to find the most graceful swimmers. Everyone thinks the swans will win again, but now Seth has joined their team. Well, let's just say nothing certain. Poor Seth is such a clumsy swan. He just cannot glide through the water like the others. He tries his best every time, but he usually ends up with his tail feathers in the air and his feet wiggling about. So Seth has been put at the back of the team, in the hope that no one will notice him. But they did. The judges awarded a special prize to Seth for best attitude and effort. Yummy honey. It was a lovely warm afternoon, and Biffy Bear was snoozing contentedly and daydreaming about going on a picnic in the woods with a basket of sandwiches and a nice large pot of sticky honey. My oh my, this honey tastes really yummy, murmured Biffy as he dreamt of gobbling it all up. Barnaby Bee was buzzing around when he heard Biffy say something about honey. I can't see any honey, he said, waking Biffy with his buzzing. Biffy was a little cross at being woken from his lovely dream. It's on the far side of the forest, said Biffy, and so Barnaby flew off, leaving Biffy to drift back to his yummy honey dream. The Lucky Pilot. Gordon Goat, the famous pilot, had landed his aeroplane in a tree. Well, it was really more like a crash, but Gordon was much too proud to admit it. The problem was that his plane's propeller had snapped, and now he couldn't take off again. As he climbed out of the crumpled cockpit, he heard a squeal and saw a nanny goat running across the field towards him. Goodness me, are you Gordon Goat, the best pilot in all the land? She asked. Gordon blushed. Don't worry about your plane, she said. I'm a mechanic, and I'll mend it for you if you'll take me up for a ride too. And so she fixed his plane, and now they go flying everywhere together. The Man in the Moon. The Man in the Moon has friends on Mars and goes to see them in his flying car. They drink moonshakes and eat star cakes while planning their next super space race. But the man in the moon, he doesn't stay long. Before you know it, he's off and he's gone. For he has an engagement he really must keep, because it's his job to let us know when to sleep. Audition Day. Boo Rabbit's friends were all in the Leafy Wood Band. Betty Bunny played the keyboard, Florence Frog the saxophone, and Matt Rat played the guitar. Who wanted to join the band too, but he wasn't musical at all. Still, he borrowed a guitar and headed to the audition. But when who started to play? Oh, what a terrible noise. Thanks, who? Called Belinda above the din. How would you like to drum for us instead? It's a really important job. Wow! Thank you, said Who. So now Who is on stage, drumming his feet at every concert. Sometimes, he gets so excited he drums his foot too quickly, and the band have to play faster. It drives Betty, Matt, and Florence bonkers as they try to keep up. But they love their friend and don't want to upset him. And the audience loves it. Who's the real hit? Clever Alvin. Ugh, said Alvin the chimp, wiping paint from his nose. He was painting the ceiling in his friend Franco Fish's house. He was happy to help, but the paint kept splattering his face as he worked. Alvin wiped his face for the 100th time and then had the most wonderful idea. Carefully moving Franco's into a clean bucket of water, Alvin used Franco's fish bowl as a helmet. It was perfect. Now he could see what he was doing, and the paint drips were easy to wipe off the bowl. Clever Alvin.
Underwater fun. When he was at the beach, Ewan borrowed his dad's diving mask and snorkel. "I'm going to try swimming underwater and speak to the fish," Ewan said to his dad. "Will you come and watch me?" "Okay," said Dad. "You can pretend you're a submarine." When Ewan swam underwater for the first time, everything looked so different. He could hardly believe his eyes when a fish swam right up to him. Ewan tried to speak to the fish, but the snorkel made it sound funny. "Hebo." Ewan bubbled, but the fish just swam off and hid in the seaweed. "Maybe I should learn to speak fish language before I come snorkeling again," thought Ewan. Pixie Pip. Each day, before the sun rises and the world awakens, Pixie Pip skips off into the forest with his magic paintbrush under his arm. You see, Pixie Pip's job is to paint the gray, plain toadstools with colorful spots. On a sunny day, Pip can paint over 100 toadstools. But when it rains, Pixie Pip likes to shelter and take a nap. So if you find any gray toadstools in the forest, you know that Pip must be having a nap somewhere and hasn't finished his painting yet. Tickly Whiskers. Rupert the Rabbit played in a band. He played the trumpet and was the best in the land. A special concert was coming up, so he went to the barber to have his hair cut. "Good morning, Rupert," the barber grinned. "Just a short back and sides, please, and my whiskers trimmed." Long whiskers are in fashion now, everyone knows. But when I play the trumpet, they tickle my nose. Wash Day Magic. Hester Hedgehog would often grumble to her best friend, Hilda, about how she didn't like wash days. Then one day when Hilda came to visit, she brought Hester a gift. "It's Pixie Soap," said Hilda. "It makes wash day fun, you'll see." Hester couldn't wait to try it. As she started scrubbing her laundry, the Pixie Soap made hundreds of colorful bubbles that danced in the air and popped with a magical twinkle. In no time at all, Hester's washing was all nice and clean, and she never grumbled about wash day again. Robin's Secret Mission. Robin's dad was reading him an exciting bedtime story about a wish-making fish who had been caught and imprisoned by the evil Captain Blunderboots and his gang of pirates. The story was so exciting that Robin couldn't wait to hear the next chapter. As he fell asleep, Robin dreamt he was part of a top-secret mission to rescue the wish-making fish from the clutches of the terrible pirates. In his dream, Robin crept up on Thepparate's galleon in a special miniature submarine. Then, when night fell, he climbed up a rope and onto the ship. Taking care not to wake the sleeping pirates, He tiptoed from deck to deck until he found where the wish-making fish was being held captive in a small glass bowl. Robin took the bowl and tiptoed back out. Just as they were about to escape, there in the way stood Captain Blunderboots himself. Brave Robin drew his wooden sword, and they did battle until at last the pirate captain surrendered. Robin had rescued the wish-making fish and returned it back to the ocean. "Wow," said Robin when he woke up the next morning. "It's very exciting being part of a top-secret mission and tackling pirates, but now I'm exhausted."
Harvey's trumpet.
Harvey Bear was learning to play the trumpet. The trouble was, no matter how many lessons he had, or how much he practiced, the sound Harvey's trumpet made was awful. His mom and dad even had to cover their ears whenever he played. But when Farmer Ted heard about Harvey's trumpet playing, he had a bright idea. He asked Harvey to come and practice in his field to scare away the crows that were eating his crops. The crows didn't like Harvey's trumpet either and flew away whenever they heard him play. Now Harvey can practice playing his trumpet as much as he likes, and Farmer Ted is happy too.
Farmer John.
Farmer John had been working so hard in his fields that by lunchtime he needed to have a little nap. He found a shady spot under a leafy tree and lay down. Soon he began to doze off. Three naughty fairies happened to be flitting past, and when they saw Farmer John snoozing peacefully, they flew over. The first fairy tickled Farmer John's chin. The second fairy tickled his nose with a feather, and the third fairy blew pollen up the farmer's nose until. Achoo. Farmer John sneezed himself awake, much to the fairy's mischievous delight. As soon as Farmer John began to fall asleep again, they tickled him some more. Those naughty fairies thought this was a great game, and poor Farmer John got no more sleep at all.
The Fishing Competition.
Edgar Elephant and Herb Hare were very competitive. If Edgar was the tallest, Herb had to be the smallest. If Edgar stomped the hardest, Herb hopped the highest. "I'll catch the biggest thing," said Herb, when the friends went fishing. So Edgar said he'd catch the smallest thing. He dunked his net in the river and caught a tiny tadpole. So Herb flicked his fishing line. "Ouch," said Edgar. "Sorry, Edgar," said Herb. His hook had caught Edgar's hand. Herb carefully pulled it out. "However, you did say you'd catch the biggest thing." Edgar laughed.
Herman's New Home.
Eric Eel was helping his friend Herman Crab to find a new home. "This one's much too small," squeaked Herman as he squeezed out from beneath a shiny pebble that they had found amongst the seaweed. When Eric showed him a cozy-looking little cave, Herman shook his head. "I need a home that I can carry around with me," he explained. So they looked around the coral reef again until they came upon a rock, on top of which was a large, empty shell. "This is perfect," cried Herman, as he wriggled his way into the shell. "I'll take it," he grinned. You see, Herman was a hermit crab, and hermit crabs like to change home when they grow too large for their old one.
Easter Bunny Exams.
Bop Bunny had spent weeks in the library. He'd studied every book there was on map making and hiding things. You see, the Easter Bunny was recruiting an assistant. He was setting a test to see who was the very best at hiding chocolate eggs. They had to draw a map to show where the best hiding places would be and explain why. Bop wanted to become the Easter Bunny's assistant more than anything. Weeks went by and eventually Bop's hard work paid off. The Easter Bunny chose him as his new assistant. However, there was just one problem with his new assistant. Some children were still looking for their eggs days later because Bop had done such a good job at hiding them.
Holly Hedgehog.
Little Holly Hedgehog was being given a bath by her mom. "Now stop giggling and sit still, Holly, and we'll get you nice and clean," said Mum as she poured bubble bath into the tub. But Holly just couldn't stop laughing. And as her mum started to scrub the little bristles on Holly's head, tears of laughter rolled down Holly's cheeks and her shoulders jiggled with giggles. "Now, Holly, whatever's making you laugh so?" asked her mum, who couldn't help but start to chuckle too. The scrubbing brush hiccup Holly as she swallowed a bubble. "It looks just like an upside-down baby hedgehog."
Nightingale. An emperor found such a beautiful bird whose delicate songs had never been heard. He made her a house from the purest of gold, and she sang him to sleep till the emperor grew old. Then at last the bird was set free, but she returned every night so the emperor could see, swooping down from the skies to visit her emperor so frail, to sing her sweet song, that loyal nightingale. Wriggles. Rebecca found choosing a name for her dog was simple. Wriggles was a very wriggly dog indeed. He was always dashing about, chasing Rebecca or getting her to chase him. He was only still when he was asleep, and even then he'd twitch and run in his dreams. He loved to have his tummy rubbed too, but it tickled him so much he wriggled and giggled until his belly hurt. Even just giving him a stroke would send him rolling around the floor, chuckling to himself. "At least we'll never have to worry about Wriggles catching fleas," smiled Rebecca's dad. "He never stays still long enough for them to jump on." Dragon in the Wood. Belinda Bear was sitting under a shady tree when she saw her friend Raleigh Rabbit hopping towards her as fast as his legs could carry him. "You'll never guess what I've just seen," Raleigh panted. "Mmm," said Belinda. "It must have been something very surprising for you to have come running like this, so let me guess. A bird flying backwards? A tree made of sish?" "A dragon," squeaked Raleigh. "I've seen a dragon." "Oh, don't be so silly," laughed Belinda. "There's no such thing as dragons." "Well, come and see for yourself if you don't believe me," Raleigh insisted, tugging at his friend's arm. Raleigh took Belinda to the edge of a clearing and they peeked over a rock. "Well, I never," gasped Belinda as she saw a large orange dragon taking a big bite out of a jam sandwich. "Would you like to come and join my picnic?" called the dragon. But the two friends were so surprised they didn't stop to reply and ran all the way home. the slow march. Brody played the drum in the Sunnyside marching band. But try as he might, Brody couldn't keep in step with the rest of the band. Terry Tortoise found Brody looking sad and asked him what was wrong. "The band won't let me march with them anymore because I keep going too fast and bumping into people," he sighed. "I just get so excited playing the drum that I forget to walk in time with everyone else." "I think I can help you," said Terry. So that afternoon, Brody marched up and down the garden playing his drum. And Terry, who always walked very slowly, walked beside him, keeping Brody in time. Before long, Brody was back in the marching band, and Terry would always come along too.
Inspector Toby. Toby didn't fit in with the other tigers. They were fierce and played rough in the dirt, but Toby was gentle and kind and liked dressing smart. So he left the tigers and he wandered through the jungle alone. Toby passed a group of animals staring at him. He felt embarrassed, but then one said, "I wish I looked smart like you." Toby smiled, surprised. He sat with the animals and agreed to make them clothes like his. Toby finally felt like he belonged, and he had made his first friends. The Frog Prince. Dizzy Dragonfly was flying over the pond when she spotted a frog looking very sorry for himself. "Hello there, Mr. Frog," called Dizzy. "Why are you so sad on such a lovely sunny day?" "I'm not really a frog," croaked the frog. "I'm Prince Frederick. A pixie turned me into a frog when my father forgot to invite her to a banquet. I have to wait until I become a prince again." Dizzy thought about this. "That's an unlucky story," she said, landing on Frederick's head. "But you might as well try to enjoy yourself while you wait." Dizzy liked to look on the bright side of things. "You're right. This could be fun," croaked Frederick. And that afternoon, Frederick and Dizzy hopped and swam and flew all around the pond, doing all the things he could never do as a prince. Flying Saucers. Katie Kitten had heard her mom telling their neighbor about the flying saucers she'd seen that morning in Halfpenny Lane. So Katie, hoping that she might get to meet a real alien, went to see for herself. When she got there, she saw all her friends peering over the hedge into Mr. Brown's back garden. "Have you seen the aliens yet?" Katie asked in a whisper. "No, but there are lots of flying saucers," replied Pedro Puppy. And he ducked as a small china plate came whizzing over their heads. Mr. Brown is turning his kitchen upside down, trying to find a mouse he saw run under a cupboard, Pedro explained. "Do you mean the mouse over there?" asked Katie, pointing to a little brown mouse who was sitting in the middle of the flower bed watching the spectacle too. The friends all laughed as another saucer came flying through the air. The Horseshoe Nail. For one of a nail, the shoe was lost. For one of a shoe, the horse was lost. For one of a horse, the rider was lost. For one of a rider, the battle was lost. For one of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the one of a horseshoe nail. Snoring. On lazy, sunny days in grassy meadow,
Denny Bunny and Tim Mouse would often have a nap, but Denny snored loudly, not the rhythmic kind of snore that can lull you off to sleep. No, Denny would snort, whistle, and grunt like a bunch of balloons being popped by an angry, distracted wasp. Snort. Tim would jolt awake. Silence. Tim would drift to sleep. Whistle. Tim would jolt awake. Silence. Right? I've had enough, screamed Tim. Not that this worked Denny up, of course. Today, Tim had come prepared with a bow and sink plunger. He took aim and fired the plunger at Denny's nose, where it stuck, completely stopping Denny's snoring. Peace at last, said Tim. Circus Pals. Colin Clown and D for Dog had the funniest act in the circus, and they were the best of pals too. But whenever it was time for Deefer to have a bath, he would run away and hide. So Colin would have to look high and low for him. Then Colin had a clever idea. He prepared the first bathtub in the middle of the big top and held out a paper hoop, just like the one Deefer jumped through in their act. When Colin whistled, Deefer came bounding into the tent and jumped right through the hoop. Splash! Even Deefer had to admit that Colin's trick was very clever.
Fairy Petals. When Lily was given a camera for her birthday, the first thing she did was to go to the garden and take pictures of all her favorite summer flowers. That night, as she climbed into bed, she had a last look at the flower beds from her window before Dad tucked her in. "Oh, look," she gasped. "The flowers have closed up their petals." "So they have," said Dad. "That's because inside every flower lives a fairy. And in the morning, the petals will open up when all the fairies wake. But now they're snuggled up inside the flowers, with the petals tucked around them, just like you with your bedclothes." Lily thought that was a wonderful idea, and she snuggled down to sleep, imagining she was a fairy tucked up in a cozy flower. Rumpelstiltskin. There was once a miller who loved spinning crazy tall tales, especially about his daughter. The king heard about the miller's stories and called him to the palace. "What's so great about your daughter?" he asked. "Well, my lord," replied the miller, "she can spin straw into gold." The king ordered the miller to bring his daughter at once. When she came, the king led her to a room filled to the brim with straw. "Spin all the straw into gold by tomorrow morning. If you don't, you will be punished." "I can't do it," the daughter cried, but the king had left the room. The poor girl began to weep. Suddenly, an imp appeared before her. "Who are you?" the girl asked, shocked. "It doesn't matter, but I can help you turn this straw into gold. For a price," said the imp. "I will give you anything you want," said the girl. "I will do this in return for your firstborn child," said the imp. The miller's daughter had no choice but to agree. By the next morning, all the straw had been spun into gold. The king was so overjoyed and awed that he married the miller's daughter. And soon, the queen gave birth to their first child. The very next morning, the imp came to the palace to claim his reward. "It is time to fulfill your promise," he said. "Please don't take my baby," begged the queen. "I will give you 3 days," replied the imp. If you can guess what my name is by then, you can keep your child. If not, for 2 days, the queen tried to remember every name she'd ever heard. Casper, Pegleg, Sheepshanks, but it was all in vain. On the third night, she was taking a stroll through the forest when she heard someone singing. Ha! Glad am I that no one knew that Rumpelstiltskin I am styled. Later that night, the imp arrived at the palace. Is your name Tom? No! Is it Rumpelstiltskin? Rumpelstiltskin threw a fit and stomped away angrily, and the queen lived happily ever after. Pinkelrustmist. Pinkelrustmist is the happiest, friendliest, kindest little imp you could wish to meet, but he has a big secret. He is the great, great, great-grandson of the infamous fairy tail imp, Rumpelstiltskin. Everyone knows how mean and unkind Rumpelstiltskin was, but Pinkelrustmist is the complete opposite. Rumpelstiltskin would stomp his feet in rage, but Pinkelrustmist dances and hops and sings happy tunes. And he greets everyone he meets with a merry. Pleased to meet you. My name is Pinkelrustmist. What's yours? The Fox and the Goat. Once upon a time, a fox was roaming in search of water. The fox was very thirsty, and he came across an old well in a village. He tried peering into the well to see if it had water, and the fox had to leap onto the wall of the well to look inside. The fox slipped and fell into the well and drank the water. Now he struggled to come out of the well as he could not jump high enough. He had to wait the whole night to get help from someone. A goat happened to pass by the well and saw that the fox was stuck inside it. The fox instantly thought of a cunning idea to use this opportunity to his advantage. He said to the innocent goat that the water in the well was very refreshing and told him to jump inside and relish it. The goat jumped into the well and drank the water, and fell for the fox's trap. Fox and the goat both were now stranded in the old well. The goat asked the fox for a way to climb out of the well. The fox said that he would climb on the back of the goat and go out and then help the goat to climb out as well. The goat once again agreed without thinking twice, and the fox then climbed onto the back of the goat and was able to come out of the well. Once the fox was out of the well, he began to walk away. The fox said to the goat that he should have thought of a way to climb out of the well before jumping inside. The innocent goat was now in need of help himself.